KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show, and we are live, right? I don't know how to prove that to you. Oh, I guess I could tell you the Dodgers just changed pitchers, right? How would I know that if we weren't live? The hell. All right, we have Richard Muir with us. He knows more about computers and iPhones and tech than anybody I know. And man, oh man, he's got a big story here. The iPhone 12 is out, totally redesigned. Rich, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm doing great tonight. Hey, thanks
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said thanks for the kind words.
Oh, listen, I every time I watch KTLA and you come on, I can't change the station. You when you talk about tech, you always it's like it's as if you wrote it for me, because you don't get too dark, you know, too into the weeds about how things work, and you don't do a superficial thing. It's like the exact type of information I want on that item. Which is great.
I love it. I'm going to record what you just said and play it back during contract negotiation time.
Well, it's true. Like when you have when you're talking about an app, you don't go into the million things it does. You just say the one or two things it does and why it's good or why it's not good. Boom. And that's all I need to know.
I mean, I'm explaining this stuff to the masses, right?
That's right.
It's what's cool about this. How's it going to affect your life? How's it going to make your life better? Why should you spend your money? I'm not sitting there getting into the, you know, nitty gritty of every single device or what it can do or the pros, the cons. If you want all that, believe me, I can take those conversations on social media and I do it all day.
Okay, good. All right, let's leave them there. Hey, so the iPhone 12 is out and looks pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, I've been playing with it for the past couple days, and it's got a great camera, and it's a really nice design, and it's, you know, got the 5G as well. So it's one of those things with Apple. They do their presentation, right, which, you know, they show all the fancy features, bells, whistles. I mean, Apple is the best at marketing in the world. But then they send these things to reviewers like myself, and you kind of have to unpack it all, right? They don't tell you everything.
Right.
You got to go through all the settings. You got to play with it and see what's really cool, what's not so good, and you know, what we like and not like.
You know, I know with me, it takes me about 2 to 4 weeks to get used to a new phone and a new size of phone or whatever. Are you able to do it quicker, or does it take you some time as well?
Oh my! You know, I have to, you know, try out all these different phones from different companies, and you know, sometimes, you know, I'll try to carry them for like a couple days or a week,
right?
And it's not easy to try, you know, because they're all different sizes. It's all different muscle memory. They all work differently. So for this iPhone, I went from my iPhone 11 Pro Max, which is kind of like the biggest phone from last year, and now I'm using the iPhone 12 to see how that works, or the iPhone 12 Pro, which is the same size as the regular 12. And it's totally different because it's a much smaller phone. But now I'm kind of like, oh, I kind of like this size phone because I'm so used to these giant screens that this feels really good. So it's actually an easier phone to handle than my old phone. I'm looking at my old phone on my desk and I'm like, ugh, how did I ever use this thing for a year?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I went from an iPhone 7 to an iPhone 10, and it was like putting a big screen TV in my pocket. I hated it for the first 2 weeks. And now I look back at the 7, I'm like, why would I carry something so small around?
The wildest phone that I had this year was the Note 20 Ultra from Samsung. That thing was so big, and they didn't send it with a case. So I actually did drop it once, I think I dropped it twice. But it was so huge. I love the phone, but I just couldn't get over the size,
right?
Because it didn't really fit in my pocket. It was just very awkward to like kind of use on a daily basis. But I love the phone, and you know, eventually it's, you know, back to my regular. But still, it was the biggest phone I've ever used in my life.
Richard Muir is with us talking about the iPhone 12. I think as humans evolve, I think because most of us keep our phone in our left front pocket, I think that we're going to start to lose muscle mass in that left leg to accommodate a bigger phone.
I always wonder about the phone in the pocket thing because, you know, I've got the phone in my pocket 24/7 pretty much,
right,
except my sleep. And then I've got the watch on my wrist that also has a cellular connection. So I'm sitting there like, am I just like irradiating myself all day long? Like, what is going on? This is workman's comp, I think.
I heard, I mean, there was a rumor years and years ago that if you have the phone in your pocket and you're a man, you become more sterile. And I immediately went out and bought one for each pocket.
Oh, smart. I've already had my kids, so I'm good. I mean, it's...
How many kids do you have?
I've got two kids, 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. And it's very quiet here because they're not here right now, actually.
That's great. And one of each? You got a boy and a girl?
No, two boys.
Two boys. Wow. All right. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I know that during the pandemic, it's been tough. I have a 15-year-old, and thank God, you know, knock on wood, she's not complained once during the shutdown, which is incredible. I think there's something wrong with her at this point, you know? I think
wow.
That's... Yeah, but it's crazy. But having
that's
two kids...
House is complaining.
Yeah, well, listen, I talked to Petros, and he's coming out with this later. He's got two kids, and he sometimes, you know, it just drives him crazy sometimes. And I totally get it.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, we've got the kids working here from, you know, doing school from home. My wife is working from here. My photographer from KTLA comes here every day to shoot. You know, he's in like full like PPE suit, and I just in, like, shorts and a T-shirt. I'm like, look, it's my house, you know? Hey, come on.
That's great. Well, what's his name? Who's the guy, your Orange County correspondent? I always forget his name.
Chip Yost.
Chip Yost. He's a one-man band. You ever try, think about doing that? Where you do the camera, the lights, and sound?
You know, it's funny you say that. You know, I don't want to get in too much into, like, the whole, you know, union stuff. But certain rules about what we can do and what we can't do. But there is one rule. Apparently, outside of Los Angeles, I can kind of shoot my own stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I do that sometimes, but believe me, you got to make friends with your photographer. You don't want to sit there. I've shot things on the iPhone, and I'm like, oh, you got to edit this. And he's like, okay, sure. I'll make this look real good for you. You didn't bring me to China? Okay, cool. I'll make this
That's
look great, Rich.
That's awesome. All right, can you stay with us? We want to talk about the food delivery service.
Sure.
Okay, excellent. All right, Rich Mears with us at Rich on Tech or at richontech.tv. It's easier to just go at Rich on Tech and see all the latest on the iPhone 12, and then we'll also talk about food delivery. The soggy delivery of food might be a thing of the past. We'll come back and talk to Rich. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Rich DeBure is with us. You can check him out at Rich on Tech, at Rich on Tech. And soggy food delivery is a thing that people hate. But that might be a thing of the past. First of all, Rich, how often do you order food to be delivered either to work or at home? Are you a frequent purchaser?
You know, we've been doing more since the pandemic. You know, at first we did nothing. You know, the beginning of lockdown, it was like you can't even open the window at the house. And then we kind of relaxed a little bit, ordered food. You know, so we do. We're ordering a lot, I'd say. I mean,
yeah.
I think everyone is, you know, with these apps, it makes it so easy. I'm so cheap, though. I like to drive over and pick it up. So my wife is always like, really? I'm like, yeah, save us like a couple bucks. But
yeah, plus you get out of the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, for lunch and stuff. Yeah, so anyway, we do 50-50, but we definitely have experience in this area.
Yeah. You know, I use the app when I go to McDonald's or when I go to Chick-fil-A. And also when I go to, you know, Sharky's. But if I see somebody standing in line at a fast food place, I don't think they're either they know what's going on or they're not very bright, because there's no reason to stand in line anywhere anymore.
No. In fact, I love the apps. That's another thing. My wife is always giving me a hard time because I'm like, let's pre-order on the app. But a lot of time, I mean, they've gotten a little bit better with the whole curbside and all this stuff. But at the beginning of the pandemic, they didn't really understand. Like, I'd sit out there outside like Panera for like 10 minutes. And it's like, oh, you got to like check in on the app. Whoops. And then Chick-fil-A was the worst, actually. They didn't even like come out to the car at all. It was like, you know, the parking lot's always filled.
Right.
But they're getting better.
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A. And the one in Burbank has 24 spaces outside you can pull into and put your number, your space number in. And they bring that food out pretty quickly. I've had a great experience with Chick-fil-A.
A lot of real estate there.
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A. But I'm not a big food delivery guy because for some reason, I always think the guy who's dropping my food off is also sharing it with me.
Well, now the new thing is all these packages have like a security tape on them. So when you get a meal from, you know, anywhere, Sweetgreen, wherever, literally either the box is taped up, and I'm talking that kind of tape that when you tear it, it all goes everywhere. So it's tamper resistant tape. So like you see it. And so all these things are now sealed with that. So I think you should try again because, you know, that's what's happening. They're not stealing the fries anymore because the bag is like literally sealed up. Maybe they have to cut a hole in the bottom to get them out.
Well, maybe they learned something from, you know, I'm sure you have friends that do this, you know, they go to dispensaries, But, you know, dispensaries have those bags. They're locked up. And then, you know, so for the ride home, you really shouldn't open that up until you get home.
Well, you know, when I lived in Louisiana, they had this thing, you know, I was a reporter there. Right. And you could have a daiquiri. There was drive-through daiquiri places.
Wow.
And you could drive through, get a daiquiri. And what they did was they tape the straw down to the top. And that meant if you got pulled over, officer, I am not drinking this. The straw is taped down. It's clearly not been drank.
That's great that the cops know the tape rule. Like, no, the straw's down, buddy. Nothing to see here.
You just have like a daiquiri in your cup holder.
That's really cool. Like, there's a place down the street, Talleyrand. They make great drinks, especially their Bloody Marys. So they sell a Bloody Mary mix for $25. It includes the alcohol and all the, you know, the seasonings, plus the tomato sauce and celery. But it makes four drinks. And that's not a bad deal. You know, you go home and hopefully you get home by the time, you know, before you start making them. But it's like literally having a drink in a bar. It's, you know, all the salt is there, the celery salt, the vegetables and everything. And it really is a great deal. I mean, I think more restaurants are doing that nowadays.
Yeah, I got to hand it to the restaurants. They've gotten pretty good at figuring this out. I don't think they're doing well. Like, I think that they're still struggling, but I think that they've gotten pretty creative in the ways that, you know, packaging up the meat and, you know, selling a box. And of course, it's never going to taste as good at home because you're not dousing it all in butter and as much salt as you want, but it's still better than, you know, what I had, which is like frozen pizza.
Yeah. And I've noticed also that restaurants, the people who work at restaurants, are really, really kind to us now because they know, you know, we're the only thing keeping them afloat.
It's gotten better, I feel like. I mean, it depends on the restaurant you go to, but they, you know, if you're going to a restaurant where you're sitting down, especially, it's gotten a lot better. Yeah. But I also feel like they have the A-team at this point because like, you know, they're calling back the people that they've worked there the longest, that have, you know, showed up for their shifts. So I think that it's like the all-stars right now.
Right. But you know what? Like, we went to California Pizza Kitchen in Orange County because you could go there, you know, in Orange County. So we drove down there just to eat and go to the mall just to get out. But and I noticed that, like, I didn't know the rules. Like, I went to, you know, I went to CPK and she said, okay. And then she went through the rules with us. If you get up, you got to put a mask on. If you touch the menu, I got to throw it away at the end. I mean, there's no salt and pepper on the table. I mean, it was like a whole new experience. I all of a sudden, there's like 25 rules.
Oh, there's so many rules. I got yelled at Trader Joe's on Sunday. We walked to Trader Joe's, and I get yelled at because I stood – there's a mark on the floor that I missed at the register. And I just went over to, like, the debit card reader, which I normally go, you know, to, like, pay for it. And he was like, no, you got to stand there. And I was like – he was like, back behind the line. And I was like, whoa. And my wife is like, you know the rules? I mean, come on. I got yelled at Target for trying to bag my own stuff.
That's great.
I'm getting in trouble left and right with these new rules. So now I just kind of stay in the background and I'm like, all right, you tell me what to do and I will do it.
You know, when watching you on TV, it doesn't seem like you're a real like a-hole rule breaker, but man, that's a cruel side of you.
Yeah, I try, you know? I mean, I usually follow the rules. I'm actually pretty, people would probably say I'm pretty much by the rules for most things in life, sadly.
Yeah. I also noticed, and I went to a gas station the other day. And the guy's sitting there. He goes, "Hey, do you mind? We supply these gloves for you. Do you mind putting them on before you pump gas?" So now I'm putting on gloves. I got the mask on. I'm putting the gas in myself. It's like I work there. You know, all of a sudden I got a job there. It's crazy. But Rich, seriously, love having you on the show. And if anybody wants to check it out tomorrow on KTLA, you're on the morning and in the afternoon. Is that correct?
Yeah, they've put me on more now. I guess for the pandemic, there's a lack of coverage. So I'm on all the time. Just turn it on and, you know, but my main time is around 5 a.m., 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and I think 10 p.m.
Excellent.
Some of it's tape.
All right, buddy. Back to the kids. I know you're a busy man. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
All right, take care. All right, there he goes. Rich on Tech. Rich DeMure. That guy's great, man. I didn't know he's such a rule breaker, man. I thought he's like a really clean cut by the rules guy, but no, he gets in there and mixes it up. Rich on Tech at Rich on Tech. KFI AM 640 Conway Show. Now I don't know if this is BS or not, and I like to do it on the air because I'm a little uncomfortable doing it off the air. But I got a call today from my boss, Robin Bertolucci, right? And she said, hey, Tim, you got a second? I said, yeah, no, I'm not doing anything. It's a pandemic. I got 5 hours. And she said, how's the show going? I said, yeah, it's good. You know, talk about the Dodgers. That's a big story in town. We got Rich on Tech tomorrow. And she says, so what do you do after the show? I said, I don't know, watch TV. Maybe I'll pop open a beer. And she says, but when the show ends at 10, are you done at 10? And I paused for a second. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'm done at 10, I think, right? And she said, well, do you immediately disconnect at 10? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, do you disconnect the Comrex at 10 o'clock? I said, yeah, you know, I mean, maybe 10 or 1. And she goes, well, does it ever go on to like 10:10 or 10:15? And I said, I mean, if I forget to shut it off, it might. And she said, oh, okay. And I said, does that line need to be used by somebody? And she said, no, that line is not used until, you know, 6 o'clock the next morning. I said, oh, all right. Well, can I ask you a question then? What's the problem here, or what's the? I don't even know the problem. I can't find out the solution. What's going on here? And she said, well, you know, Mondo has to do his job at 10 o'clock, and sometimes you hang out till about 10 after 10 or 10:15, and BS with him, and I think it distracts him. So Mondo, did you out me? As the guy that occasionally just stays on and we watch like Seinfeld together and you're not into that, that's cool. But are you the guy that called her?
Did I do that?
That's right. That's the question.
Well, I mean, not so much as I did it, but like
somebody
My new donor heart might have.
What an idiot. That's so dumb. You could just say, look, I'm not into it, right?
Well, I was trying to give you hints and stuff. You know, every night.
It's not every night.
You're telling
dude.
Me which Seinfeld episode is, and I would like to see it. You know, you'd have to spoil it for me.
It's not every night, dude. Occasionally, I stick around to about 10 after 10, and I pester Mondo by just going, hey, dude, what's going on? He's like, oh, nothing, just working. And I go, all right, I'm going to hang up. He goes, okay. And then, like, 2 minutes later, I'm like, so I'm still here. What's happening? He goes, man, don't you have anything to do? But all right, man, if you're not into it, that's cool. I thought maybe, you know, I haven't seen you in 7 months or, you know, a year. I thought maybe we could watch TV together. I'll be at home. You'll be there. So, you know, we're not giving each other COVID and watch like Seinfeld or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's those questions you ask. Like, how'd you get into radio? And
all right.
What are your thoughts on that?
All right. But man, I can't believe that you had to involve management. I mean, you know, you just it's weird. It's odd. I mean, why don't you just get somebody in here that calls horse races or something. You know what I mean? All right, let's get into this. The Dodger dogs, you know, because Dodgers are kicking ass right now. Well, I mean, not in this game, but in the series. And there's Dodger dogs, and they're popping up everywhere, right? Because you can't get them at the stadium anymore. So there's a pop-up restaurant that allows you to order them as well. You know, there's a place. Well, I shouldn't tell you the place, but there's a competing place that we talk about on the show that has hot dogs, but I'm not going to mention where they are. But this is a Dodger dog pop-up, and this is actually pretty cool. Let's find out where we can get these.
You know, here's the deal. Nothing goes better with watching the Dodgers win than having a Dodger dog. Now, think about it. There is a restaurant here that will deliver Dodger dogs, peanuts, popcorn, and Cracker Jacks to your home.
Wow.
This Hollywood eatery is giving Dodger fans a chance to have part of the ballpark experience at home. It's called Home Plates. The restaurant has teamed up with the Dodgers to deliver fan favorites from Dodger dogs, peanuts, and Cracker Jacks during the World Series.
Right now, we're available in about a four-mile radius in...
Four miles from where? Hollywood?
About a four-mile radius in Hollywood, West Hollywood, a little bit of downtown. This is our first location. It's available only on Postmates.
Wow. Some limitations that come along with this.
They opened up in July when this pandemic-shortened season started. For Game 1 of the World Series, 300 families placed their order for food delivery. Today, they're expecting to be even busier delivering a lot of Dodger dogs.
We're going to serve a lot of them tonight, if yesterday is an indicator. So we're going to ship probably in excess of 1,000 Dodger dogs tonight.
Wow.
Michael is hoping this food service will become an even bigger hit as the Dodgers try to win their first World Series championship in more than 30 years.
I'm really excited to do the best we can to get hot, great food out and to bring a little bit of the ballpark to fans in their home.
There you go.
And hopefully after the Dodgers win the World Series, the food service won't stop. After the series is over, if you...
Might slow down a little, but may not stop.
The food service won't stop. After the series is over, if you want to, say, enjoy a Dodger dog and all the trimmings with when you're watching a Rams game or a Chargers game, they're going to be open for the rest of the year. So eat up and enjoy. Reporting live from Dodger Stadium, I'm Sid Garcia, ABC 7 Eyewitness News. And one quick note, the Dodger dogs tasted real good.
You had to try it.
It was research.
Good for you, Sid. Thanks.
You know, here's the...
Where is this place? Did I miss it at the beginning?
You know, here's the deal. Nothing goes better with watching the Dodgers win than having a Dodger dog. Now, think about it. There is a restaurant here that will deliver Dodger dogs, peanuts, popcorn, and Cracker Jacks to your home.
Name of the restaurant.
This Hollywood eatery is giving Dodger fans a chance to have part of the ballpark experience at home.
What's the name of it?
It's called Home Plates.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
It's called Home Plates.
Home Plates. So if you want to get a Dodger dog tonight, you live within a block from Home Plates or 4 miles, you can do that, right?
It's called Home Plates.
What does it cost, you think? A Dodger dog's probably $3.
Dodger dog is $4.95.
$4.95 for for a 12? How many?
Classic 10-inch Dodger dog. Comes with sides.
One Dodger dog.
One Dodger dog, yeah. Super Dodger dog is $7.50.
And then what is delivery charge? Does it say there?
It does not. Oh, delivery is $2.99.
Per dog?
No. Per your order.
$2.99? That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Right?
It's called Home Plates.
It's called Home Plates. Good idea, too. That's, we should have got in on that, Mondo.
No.
What were you thinking? Yeah, sitting there with that ticker ears and those kidneys and that guacamole, all confused on what to do in life. Yeah, we should have got in on this. We could have made some money, dude.
We should have talked about that instead of Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's right. We should get business together, right? So we can just hang out, right?
Exactly. Oh, God.
All right, very good. Don't forget, at 7 o'clock tonight, Petros is coming on from the Petros and Money Show on KLAC. Home to your Los Angeles Dodgers. KFI AM at 640. It's Conway Show. Petros from the Petros and Money Show is coming on with us at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. And then my Uncle Wally's coming on. And he's never been on with us before, I don't think. I can't remember. I used to work, he came on this. I don't think he did, though. I think it's the very first time. That's wild. So, all right, even though COVID is going on, there are weddings that are still happening, right? And people are a little apprehensive about going, right? I don't like going anyway, but during COVID, whew, man, I'd never go. Here we go.
Getting hitched under the stars amid the COVID-19 pandemic.
It just feels special, and the lights and everything. It's a lot more romantic given the circumstances.
Marriage ceremonies taking place at the Honda Center in Anaheim.
Something good to remember out of the whole COVID situation.
Yeah. Life has to go on, so we want to be a part of that.
Masks and physical distancing in place, county staff separated by a ticket booth.
This is the first time we've ever done it at night.
The Orange County Clerk Recorder, Hugh Wynn, says his office has offered civil marriage ceremonies since...
Who wins?
The Orange County Clerk Recorder, Hugh Wynn, says his...
Oh, Hugh Wynn.
Hugh Wynn says his office has offered civil marriage ceremony.
Oh, that's, she said.
Order Hugh Wynn says his office has.
And then she said says real quickly. I thought his name was Who Wins.
Porter Hugh Wynn says his office has offered civil marriage ceremonies since the start of the pandemic, taking a brief break when COVID-19 cases spiked in the county.
Yay! Oh.
He says he extended hours into the evening because of demand for this date.
Well, there's a combination of 10, 20, 20, 20. A lot of people feel it's lucky, and it's been a busy day.
We love the idea of the 10, 20, 20, and we were ready to.
Yeah. By the way, if you think your marriage is being held together by some stupid date, you know, that's luckier than any other date, you're going to be really, really pissed when it all falls apart and the date's just laughing at you. The date has nothing to do with it. It's like going to a racetrack and betting on a horse because you like the name. That has nothing to do with the horse, right? Nothing.
Get together and formalize, become a family.
On the practical side, 10-20 is also fairly easy to remember for future anniversaries.
Yeah, that's true. You want to an easy number to remember, because when the you know, you're 15 years deep into it, and you're like, June 18th? Or is that my dad's 16th? May?
Yeah, you won't forget.
I won't forget it.
More than 240 couples tying the knot here.
It feels amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, it feels wonderful. Dream come true for us.
You know, he seems to be, if you don't mind me observing, so he seems to be a little less enthusiastic about it. Listen to the two levels of enthusiasm.
Future anniversaries.
Yeah, you won't forget.
I won't forget it.
More than 240 couples tying the knot here.
It feels amazing.
Wonderful. Yeah, it feels wonderful. Yeah, it feels wonderful.
Yeah, that's not a wonderful feeling. You can't say, oh my God, I've never been this excited. Because clearly you're not excited. All right? When you're jumping up and down at because you just won $1,000 on a bet at a blackjack table and you can't believe it, or you just won a slot machine, or maybe you just your horse came in and you know you got photoed into a trifecta, and you're like, I can't believe it, it's unbelievable! You go crazy. That's excitement, and you don't have to tell everybody you're excited; they see it. But when he says, "That's wonderful,"
yeah, it feels wonderful.
Yeah, it feels wonderful. Hey, how you feeling? I feel wonderful. Well, you're not showing that, so I doubt what you're saying. If you're feeling wonderful, we could see it, and we could hear it in your voice, and see it in your eyes and your body language, and then you wouldn't have to tell us you feel wonderful.
Yeah, it feels wonderful.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I'm sorry to be the guy crapping all over your new marriage. It doesn't seem like you're into it.
Yeah, it feels wonderful.
Doesn't? I don't see it. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels wonderful. Dream come true for us.
This guy's lying.
Dream come true for us.
He could care less.
Dream come true for us.
For Raluca and Ross Pauly, the date didn't matter as much as the opportunity to get married before they moved to Texas.
We don't know when exactly we'll be able to, and since we're moving away, we wanted to do a little something with family before we moved away.
Why are you guys moving away? Because everything was so great.
Wynn says the evening hours are just being offered for this special date, but people can still get married in person here at the Honda Center during the day, Monday to Friday. You do have to make a reservation.
Yeah, you can't just show up and get married. You do need a reservation to get married. So, and you should have one, right, in life. It shouldn't just be like, oh, we're driving down to my dad's. Oh, what is that? Oh, that's the Honda Center? They marry people right there, right? You want to slide in there for a bit and get married? What do you think? That shouldn't be the way you start a marriage. So a reservation, you have to have a reservation for CPK. You should at least have a reservation to get married, right? And it should be a little bit more than just a reservation. You know, a reservation is easy to make. Wasn't there a whole Seinfeld about reservations? They're easy, or one of his lines, you know, it's easy to make a reservation. It's hard to keep a reservation.
It's when he was reserving the rental car.
Right.
Anyone can make the reservation.
Right. It's keeping the reservation that's tough. That's great. All right, Pink's Hot Dogs. Hate to do two hot dog stories in 1.5 hour, but what the hell, you know? If they're there. But Pink's Hot Dogs, they're always in the news, and they're doing something here. They're going blue for a third time to support Democrats. I'm just kidding. They're doing it to support the Dodgers.
Pink's Hot Dogs is going blue for a third time for the Dodgers. Like it did in 2017 and 2018, the landmark restaurant is turning blue to support the Dodgers in the World Series.
Wow.
Pink's is also selling a Dodgers-themed bacon chili cheese dog for $4.88. That sounds good.
Wait, what is it?
Bacon chili cheese dog for $4.88. That sounds good. 88 represents 1988,
oh, yeah.
The year the Dodgers won their last World Series title.
There you go. All right. Well, Pink's, slide down to Pink's. There used to be a Pink's at Hollywood Park at the casino, the Hollywood Park Casino. And I remember going with a buddy of mine to Pink's on Melrose after we were, you know, it was years and years and years ago. We're out drinking and buzz and like, let's go to Pink's and get a, you know, hot dog and you know, before we call it a night. So I go to Pink's and there's probably 50 or 60 people in line. And I'm like, I don't want to wait that long. And he says, well, I'd like to wait. I said, how about this? I'm going to drive to Hollywood Park and get a Pink's hot dog there and then drive back and see if I beat you in line. And he goes, done. How much on it? $20. Boom. I drove to Hollywood Park, got two Pink's hot dogs, no one in line. Pink's hot dog cart right there in Hollywood Park Casino, drove back to Pink's, and he still was 20 deep in line. I got a free hot dog and a $20 bill. One of the greatest nights of my life. I was very excited, very moved by it. One of the great nights of my life. Euphoria. Amazement. Truly wonderful.
Bet your ass! Timmy! Ah! Timmy! Ah! He's a little lamb with a lot to learn. He's always having such a lot of fun! Timmy!
Ah!
Timmy! Ah! Little lamb with a lot to learn!
It's Timmy time!
Yes!
Ding dong!
Matt, please. You're not on tonight. We have Petros. Petros from the Petros and Money Show is with us. How are you, bub?
I'm doing all right. I'm watching the Dodgers get no hit by this guy named Snell.
Yeah, looking at that.
Can't you smell that Snell?
I bet you're the only guy that's ever done that to him.
He's pretty young.
Yeah. I bet you're right.
People don't
hey,
know.
I don't know if you know this, but my uncle's coming on at 8 o'clock tonight. Did you know? Are you aware of that?
I did not, but okay. I'll tune in for that.
He's never been on with us before. He's a songwriter. He's an ex-television writer. He wrote for Laverne and Shirley. Very funny man. And he's coming on at 8 o'clock because he used to be in a band called the Dalton Brothers or the Dalton Gang. And he played in Ontario, Canada, and opened for a guy named Johnny Nash. And I know you know who Johnny Nash is.
Great Jamaican pop singer.
That's right.
Who recently passed away. And not only did he sing the song, well, people my age think of it as the song in the Blind People commercial, but he had, which is I Can See Clearly Now, but he had so many great tunes that were Jamaican tunes like Guava Jelly and Kama Kama. And those are songs that he taught in person in the country of Sweden, of all places, to Bob Marley. And there are early recordings of Bob Marley's versions of Guava Jelly and Kama Kama because Johnny Nash taught him those songs because they had a relationship through Island Records. So Johnny Nash is one of my favorite. He has a beautiful version of Cupid that is fun to listen to. And that is a really cool thing to have a connection to him because he is a great, you know, he's a Jamaican singer. People think of every Jamaican singer as like a guy with dreadlocks, you know, with a giant bong, you know, in a field. But there's a lot of what they call some combs, which in Jamaica, patois means sometimes they comb their hair. And you know, just guys with normal hair like Johnny Nash. And he what a great, great artist. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I had no idea somebody was going to let me talk about Johnny Nash today.
By the way, when I said to Petros Johnny Nash died, I had about a 50-50% chance knowing that Petros knew who he was. But I had no idea and you didn't know we were going to talk about it. I had no idea you had that kind of Johnny Nash talent. I mean, that background on the guy.
Yeah, if somebody's been around Jamaica, that information does not escape me very often because I have an unhealthy obsession toward Jamaica. I actually have a framed photo map of the island in my office for some reason. Yes.
So now you're from there?
Are you like, am I like from Jamaica? No, sadly, and you probably shouldn't even mention it in today's day and age, but my parents ran a restaurant at night, a very popular restaurant in San Pedro that was open for 40 years, as you know, called Papadakis Taverna. And the woman that raised us up for about 5 or 6 years there on a lot of nights while my parents were down there working was a Jamaican lady, so that is how I learned the legends and the language and the customs of Jamaica.
You know, I went to, my brother got married in Jamaica, and I'd never been there before. Right near the airport, that's all
right
I know.
Right by the beach?
Sandals? A little less knowledgeable of the Jamaican, some combs than you are.
Montego Bay. Did anybody get shot when you were there?
Montego Bay.
Okay, then it would be Montego Bay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I went to, he got married in Montego Bay, and I was told, that's back when I was enjoying myself before I was married and had a kid and everything. And I was told, don't bring any weed into Jamaica. You can go to prison for 5 years. And I'm like, oh, okay. So we get to Jamaica. I get in a cab. And before the cab driver leaves the airport, he has two dime bags on, and he says, which one would you like, man? So I think they're just trying to keep, they're just trying to scare the hell out of you so they can take the business.
Well, you don't bring a hooker to the chicken ranch either,
That's right.
Jamaica, there's three things you do, other than try to get out and get shot, which is what I tried to do when I go to Jamaica. But usually it's just the drinking of the Mount Gay rum, which is delicious, Red Stripe beer, which is delicious, and the solicitation of the reefers.
I went to a bar. My mom and I went to a bar together because we were the only ones of age, and my brother was, but he was, tired and crap. So she took me to a bar. We went to a bar like 3 or 4 miles from the hotel up in the hills. And it was a local bar where just locals were hanging out. I got some Red Stripe. My mom got tired, so she drove home. I was going to walk home. And I was playing pool, and I was playing pool for money. And I was about to win $40, which I guess was a lot of money for the guys that I was playing. And I'm about to finish this last shot, put the eight ball in, and take the $40. And the guy comes up, and he whispers to me, he goes, do you know those guys you're playing? And I said, I have no idea who they are. He goes, I wouldn't make this shot. I did not make that shot.
You live the 10cc song Dreadlock Holiday, which is a great old British song about going to Jamaica and getting robbed. That's a pretty great story. There's a lot of really tough people in Jamaica, and it really is, I think, on and off. Kingston, Jamaica is the murder capital of the world, and they have a real problem with political violence. And we think we have a problem with political violence in an election year here.
Right.
Political violence in Jamaica is like some other entity supplies a bunch of kids with guns because they promote one political party to attack a neighborhood with kids with guns that promotes the other political party. I mean, it's really wild. And it's crazy the death that they've had for decades over there now. But there still is a wild, inherent just joy in the people and the music there. It's a very unique place with a music influenced the whole world, and it's not a big place at all.
Well, I lost the pool game, and I walked home 3 miles, and I thought the guys were following me. So every time, car lights came up behind me because I was walking. At night.
Oh, my
3 miles.
God.
3 miles.
And What's wrong with you?
And every time I saw car lights either coming towards me or from behind me, I laid down in the gutter.
What happened to your mother?
She split. She went home like she was tired.
She left
to get,
you there?
She left. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. You know, it's Jamaica. I grew up in the streets. You know me.
There's nobody more important maybe in the history of the country, and they knew it then because he crossed over. He was on the cover of Rolling Stone, than Bob Marley. And they shot him there and his wife in the head.
Okay.
All you have to do to get shot in Jamaica is just be there.
Right. I was unaware of Bob Marley's demise while I was playing.
No, he didn't die, but he was shot. You know, I mean, they shot poor Rita. Neither of them died, but, you know, he didn't go back for a while.
Yeah, I haven't been back either.
It's an adventure, not just a vacation.
I did enjoy it, though. I like the throwback to another century where, you know, there's violence and there's something energetic about it. It's weird, you know?
It is an odd place. One of the more fun 1980s interpretation of Caribbean island life is Club Paradise with Robin Williams and Peter O'Toole. Right. Also, Jimmy Cliff is in that movie. Those are great old films, you know. And there used to be a bigger obsession, I feel like, with Jamaica in the 80s. Cool Runnings came out in the early 90s. Right. But now we just, you know, we have Usain Bolt and a few reggae stars, and that's it. But luckily, I still check the Jamaican newspaper every day if you need any information.
Yeah, excellent. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. Petros Papadakis is with us from the Petros and Money Show. And, you know, when we first had Petros on, the Dodgers had no hits. And that's changed in this inning. We're in the top of the sixth inning. Tampa Bay 5, Dodgers 2. So Dodgers are, at least they've got a hit now. They have a home run, a walk and a home run. I counted for those two runs in the fifth inning. So, now we're in the sixth. Petros is back with us. Hey, Petros, so a buddy of mine said, texted me and said, ask Petros if he knows that Johnny Nash, who we were just talking about, did this song. I bet you do, but let me play it for you. Here we go.
Hercules, hero of song and story.
No,
he did the opening theme song to Hercules.
He did it.
Yeah,
that
he
was
sang
him.
That this is Johnny Nash. Listen again here.
Hercules, hero of song and story. Hercules, winner of ancient glory, fighting for the right, fighting with his might, with the strength of 10 ordinary men. Hercules.
Yeah, I mean, that's wild.
Wow. Did you know Hercules impregnated like 30 plus women in one night, mythologically?
Is that right? I didn't know.
Talk
that.
About Blue Chew. he's from a place called Nemea, which is not far near the Corinth Canal, kind of just south of Athens,
right?
Which is not far from where my family's from.
Did you learn about Hercules growing up?
Oh yeah, I saw the walls to his house on more than one occasion.
Wow,
he was a guy, but I don't think he, you know, killed a hydra or anything, but who knows? But, well, I probably didn't. But
I don't have a great memory of Hercules. I remember, though, did he pull his belt and that's how he got his superpower?
No, I think that's Orion. Hercules had no superpower. He was his mother was seduced by Zeus, who was kind of the king of the gods up on Mount Olympus in Greece. And his mother had relations with Zeus and gave birth to a demigod, strong as 10 ordinary men. And that made Zeus's life hard, or excuse me, Hercules's life hard, because Zeus's real wife, Hera, was jealous of him and got after his ass for most of his life.
Oh, I see. Okay. But Hercules, I mean, he had his bow and arrow was his weapon of choice, I believe.
No, yeah, no, that again, you're talking about Apollo, I think, or Artemis. both of those Greek gods roll with Hercules, more of a blunt force instrument type.
I see. Okay. All right. All right. So let's talk sports. What's going on?
Well, you know, if I had a football team, I think I'd put Hercules on the edge, like as a rusher.
Right.
Or, you know, because he's not going to catch a football, you know, or he'd probably just fumble it. You know, it'd be better to send him after the ball, kind of like the water boy. Also, hey, the Dodgers got two runs. Do you know how that happened? I was talking to you about Jamaica.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers scored two runs.
Yeah. Somebody walked, and then another chap hit a home run. I think
Chris Taylor. The guy that looks like a rat?
Yeah, he had the first home run of his life.
All right, well, there goes the no-hitter for that guy, Snell.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, Snell stunk up the fifth or the sixth. But
most of the people at the station were walking around today like the Dodgers swept them after one game, and it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah,
sorry.
you brought him back down to earth, though, I bet, right?
Well, you know me. I'm a very negative.
Hey, what about, they want me to ask you about the Clippers' new coach.
Oh, who's they? Teron Liu?
Yeah.
I heard Steve Ballmer, you know, the very boisterous owner of the Clippers, saying, as he often does in a very boisterous manner, that he got the best of the best, and Teron Liu is the best of the best, and I don't really think, like, if you say we hired the best of the best and then the next two words that come out of your mouth are Teron Liu, I mean, John Wooden's supposed to come out of your mouth, right? When you say best of the best, or Larry Brown even, or Rick Pitino, or, I don't know, Phil Jackson. I mean, not Teron Liu. I mean, I'm not saying he's not a great coach or not going to lead the Clippers to the promised land, but I just wasn't about the hyperbole. I'm pretty down on the Clippers, Conway.
I get it. Oh, by the way, somebody just texted me. I was thinking it wasn't Hercules. It was Sinbad. Remember Sinbad would pull his belt and then you'd get his superpowers?
Well, Sinbad was more of a Saturday morning claymation movie thing. Yeah, that which kind of maybe loosely based on the Odyssey or Jason and the Argonauts.
Oh, yeah. All right. I get it. All right.
See, Jason and the Argonauts, because Argos is an Argonaut. That's where my family's actually from. Jason and the Argonauts was the one with the golden fleece. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah. 100%.
And the Minotaur?
Yep.
You got anything on the Minotaur?
I do not.
The Labyrinth?
I have the opening to Sinbad, I think.
With Salty the Parrot by his side, they are a fearless crew. Sinbad, ooh, sailor, ready for a fight. Whatever is there, they'll be there, turning round to right. Sinbad, the sailor, a magic belt has he. He pulls it tight with all his might. A mighty sailor he'll be. A mighty sailor is he.
Sinbad, man, what a cartoon!
Yeah, that's pretty sweet right there. Do you remember the one with the one with the genie, Shazam?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
And they had that donkey, Kaboobie?
Yep.
It was a flying camel. Kaboobie. Do you remember how Kaboobie sounded when they talked? Like, you know, they would all have a conversation and they'd be like, Kaboobie doesn't like it either. And Hanna-Barbera was like slashing budgets and it was just the same shot of the camel going.
Hey, I got to play something for you. By the way, I do remember that. I got to play. I don't know if I'm sure you've heard this, but this is Gina's favorite sound bite of all time. It's a young lady on the Canadian version of Family Feud and they have to go into sudden death because both families weren't bright enough to figure out the answers. And
well, it's here, Canada.
Here we are. Sudden death. Family Feud. Here we go.
That's it. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Turns out Popeye's favorite food is not chicken.
Chicken.
Is she from New Orleans?
She's from Canada. I think she's from Toronto. And then the best reaction, though, is her sister, like, with, oh, my God. You know, after she missed spinach. Here it is.
Oh, my God.
Did you see the one where the guy has, like, a swollen groin thing going on?
Yeah.
The brother-in-law or whatever, and he's, like, looks down, and it's like he's got some kind of twisting or swelling going on, like, you know, like a fat guy in a director's chair.
Right, yeah.
And he kind of looks up like, yeah, you know, I'm having a problem.
Like he's sitting backwards in a director's chair. That's so great, buddy. Right, I really appreciate coming on. Smartest, funniest guy in radio, and I always love having you, bub.
Well, thank you. We'll talk about Greek mythology next time.
Okay. All right. 10-8-10-10, bud. Thanks for coming on, man. He's the best. Petros, the Petros and Money Show. KFI AM 640. Tampa Bay just added another run, and I think the Dodgers just added another one. Yeah, that's gone. Wow, look at that. That's quite a homer. So the Dodgers are now losing. Will Smith just hit one a mile. It was caught by a drunk in the audience. Fell on his back and caught the ball, and now he's holding his back. And might have back surgery or at least a very sore back and probably can't go to work for a couple days, but he's got the ball. Tampa Bay 6, L.A. Dodgers 3. Ding dong, right? Wow, that was quite a hit. Will Smith, the Fresh Prince, knocks it out. And then this guy that grabs it, man, he falls right on his back over a chair. Oh, bum. And he's got a glove on, and he goes right over. Oh, he gets the seat back that's all, you know, plastic or metal, whatever it is. It went right into about his, halfway up through his back.
Yeah, that's not what you want to break your fall.
Oh,
that was tough to watch. He went into a full back bend.
Right, but he's drinking because he was completely unaffected by it.
Oh, very pliable.
Yeah, and so tomorrow he's going to wake up tomorrow. He's going to see this ball on his nightstand. He's going to ask his wife where that's from.
Right,
and then he's going to be paralyzed.
Right,
and then people would be like, "Hey, man, oh man, you shouldn't have done that." He's like, "Did what?" You know, it'd be one of those. I've been there before. You know, it's chicken.
Chicken.
At least he didn't say chicken.
Favorite food.
Chicken.
And shaking those shoulders like I'm the S. I got it.
Oh, my God.
Show me.
Oh, my God.
She'll now be known as that forever.
Yeah.
There's never anything else she can do now, right? Unless she maybe she can be the singing bear. That's the sound the guy made when he just caught that ball, Will Smith's home run. Oh, look at that. He's watching himself on TV, and he's got a 128-ounce beer in front of him. One of those comedy beers that you buy one and it's literally 100 degrees by the time you finish it because you can't drink it fast enough. He's got a 128-ounce huge comedy beer with him, and he almost broke his back catching that Will Smith ball. I guess it's worth it. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Okay, it's not. It definitely is not. It's definitely not worth that. All right. But what can you do? You're there. It's the moment. You got a glove. You brought a glove for that reason. So you got to use it. Even if you have to go way up the ladder for it, you got to go up that ladder. Try to snake that ball. That's a World Series ball, a World Series home run ball. And he's always going to be on TV. Look, I'd rather be on TV for that than on TV for this.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Everybody in that family extends the last word on everything they say.
Favorite food.
Chicken.
With 3 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Man. That's a tough family, man. All right, we got to take a break. Wally Dalton coming on tonight. I believe the Redbirds' first ever visit on the show, which I'm totally embarrassed by because I think my Uncle Wally is one of the funniest guys I've ever met in my life. And I'm embarrassed that, you know, after 20 years or so, that he's coming on to talk about Johnny Nash when I should have had him on every week. Truly one of the funniest guys I've ever met in my life. And I would think easily in the top two of my favorite uncles, if not my favorite uncle. I'd have to say that. We went to Vegas together. We'd, go to the card casinos together. We wrote for a little while when we thought that would work out. It was, I enjoyed it. All right. Well, Wally Dalton, my uncle, coming on at 8 o'clock. It's going to be cool, man. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. My uncle's coming on at 8 o'clock. That's kind of cool. And Gina had texted me, is he the guy that wrote the John Kerry song?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He's not. I have all my uncles are songwriters, and the John Kerry song was great, and I'm looking for it. I know our buddy probably has it.
Yeah, I could probably get that for you under 30 seconds. I could probably sing it for you. I still remember it.
Yeah, well, I remember a little, too. It's John Kerry's gonna save the day. Help is on the way.
Right.
With a wounded leg. I don't know. But anyway, it's a great song. And I remember talking to my Uncle Danny, who I miss because he passed away. It was last year?
No.
Before. It was so sudden and so horrible. And I do miss him. I used to love talking with him. And I used to love talking with him about politics because he was exactly the opposite of me. But he made it. He was never angry or mean about it. He always just laughed about it. He'd laugh at who I voted for, and he'd say, you know, how crazy it was. And I remember him talking about the John Kerry song and how, you know, John Kerry, you know, is a really great guy, and he's this and he's that. And
the Swift Boat.
Yes, exactly, the Swift Boat Rescue, right? And he was going on and on about John Kerry. And I said, Dan, I said, with all due respect, you know, that election ended 3 years ago, but he wouldn't let it go. He's like, no, John Kerry was the guy. He was the best. He was the greatest. But that's not him. That's a different uncle who wrote that the Swift Boat song. But my other uncle, my Uncle Jerry, wrote a song that goes, I love you and I love smoking, just joking. And you know that I throw all my dead bottles in the lake. That's a mistake. Oh, I love you, and I love smoking. Honey, you're just another bad habit I can't break. That was like his. He wrote jingles and songs like that.
Oh, I like that.
But my Uncle Wally wrote a song. Well, he's written many songs, but he wrote a song for Fernando Valenzuela. And ooh. when he was, you know, pitching for the Dodgers. And I remember it went something like... Fernando Valenzuela, bum, bum, bum. And then, you know, the horns in it. Comes from Sonora to La Sora, Dodger Blue. Fernando Valenzuela, bum, 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 bum. The people shout as he strikes them out. Go, Fernando. And it didn't take off as well as I thought it would. I thought he was going to sell like 2 or 3 million copies. And I think he sold like 30 or 40 or something like that. But I thought it was really going to take off. I really love that song. But anyway, all my uncles write music on my mom's side. They're all musical. They all play multiple instruments. And they all are songwriters. And then you got me. Right? I didn't even have a stereo in my room until I was in like 10th grade. All I would do is listen to talk radio and Dodger talk. And by the way, chicks in 6th and 7th grade think that's pretty hot. You know what I mean? But I would be the guy going with all my friends to the beach. We'd take the beach bus, the RTD, and we'd take one beach bus from Balboa to Sepulveda, and then another one from Sepulveda to Westwood, another one from Westwood to the beach. Three buses. And we'd get to the beach, and I would sit there with the LA Times and read Jim Murray and the sports section while my other friends were, you know, making out with girls. And so a little slow to the game, right? A late-inning rally, but a little slow to actual game. And I wasn't really into music. I never listened to music. I think my first album I ever had was Steely Dan. And then I remember I had Steely Dan. I had Stevie Wonder's Hotter Than July. And I also had a Beatles album. And I think it was Michelle Mabel. Those are like the three albums I had.
Well, at least they were three good albums.
Oh, they're great. And I didn't have anything else. I would literally listen to Hotter Than July, Stevie Wonder's Hotter Than July, until the tape broke. And then I, you know, would buy another tape. And then when I got to college, I listened to Billy Joel and Glass Houses. What people didn't know is that album came out 10 years before I had it in my car.
Oh.
So a little slow to the game, but I got there. But I'm going to play you a song, Gina, and also Bellio and Angel, that I think all three of you will have a connection to, and all three of you will like, and all three of you will probably think of your mom when you hear this song, right? This is a great, great song. One of my mom's favorites in the entire world.
I feel so bad, I got a worried mind. I'm so lonesome all the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes, working till the sun don't shine, looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou.
Did your mom listen to that song?
Oh, yes. I love this song. I love Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, she is the best. Great song from my childhood. My mom would listen to that all the time.
I used to think that they said if birds could sing.
What is it?
If I could sing.
Oh, really? Oh, well, yeah. See, I've been until today, I thought it was blue and then B-Y and then Y-O-U. I didn't know it was blue, B-A-Y-O-U. Blue Bayou.
Oh.
Yeah, so everybody learned something. Right? All right, my uncle's coming out with us. Great guy, songwriter. Used to write for Laverne and Shirley, wrote a lot of Hollywood stuff. And he worked with Johnny Nash. Johnny Nash is one of the coolest names you probably don't know. And he wrote that song, a little song I like to call I Can See Clearly Now. All right, one of the great songs of all time.
KFI
AM 640, it is the Conway Show, and Johnny Nash had passed away, I believe it was October 6th, and I didn't know until I got an email today from my Uncle Wally up in the great northwest part of the United States, and he said we lost a real, you know, beautiful person today, or this month, and Wally actually, my Uncle Wally has a connection to Johnny Nash. Wally, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Mr. Conway. I'm fine, thank you. If I felt any better, Kim, if I felt any better, I'd be twins.
Was that a song you wrote?
No, probably.
I'm really embarrassed, and I got to apologize because I do consider you one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And today, the cadence that I have saying some things on the radio, and the references, and just how things are said, I picked up from you. And I still remember, you know, spending a lot of time going to Vegas with you, going to the card rooms together, and sitting in your apartment in Hollywood, and writing together and doing stuff. And I really really enjoy that. I'm embarrassed I haven't had you on before, so I apologize.
That's quite all right. It's quite all right. We had a great time together.
It was really a lot of fun. And you were you and my uncle Danny were the two uncles that would come over to our house on Magnolia and Balboa there. And the first thing we did is pick up the hockey sticks and go at it.
Exactly. It was good times to be had by all.
It was great, man.
And a tennis court too. My gosh, those were the good times. Those were the good times.
Yeah, no. My mom, about 7 years into owning this house in Encino, my mom decided, for about 3 weeks, she loved tennis. So what does a typical woman do? She buys a tennis court, and then she used it maybe 3 times.
No, she didn't use it much. I remember playing there with, what's the comic's name? Albert Brooks' brother.
Einstein.
Yes, Bob Einstein. Yeah,
Einstein. How about Einstein's?
Yeah,
two Einsteins
Einstein.
Trying to figure it out.
It was Albert Einstein. That's who it was. It was Albert. Yeah. He used to come over all the time and play, and he was a very funny man, obviously. That whole family were very funny. Mr. Johnny Cash was a sweetheart of a man. He was born in Houston, Texas, and he was on the circuit singing, and he was obviously a great singer, but he didn't sing reggae. You know, he sang, it was like a Dean Martin act. You know, he sang, "Who Can I Turn To When Nobody Needs Me?" I mean, that kind of, you know, you just go, oh my God. Of course, this was in the 60s, and this was before reggae was really, really big in America. And he was produced by Bob Marley. And I mean, that song, every time I hear that song, and I hear it all the time, all you have to do is turn the radio and you can hear, I Can Sing Clearly Now. That song, 50 years from now, they're going to be playing that song. I mean, it is such an anthem. It is such a powerful song. It's just a great song. And when Bob Marley produced it, it was done on Epic Records, and they gave him all this money to do this album. And he did it so fast because he was a musical genius, Marley. And he had all the musicians, and everyone knew what they were doing. They would just buzz through it. They wouldn't spend 6 hours doing one song. And so he did the album, and he had so much money left over that he produced another album and was paid for by Epic. I mean, it was just, that's how fast he got it done. But it's just, when you hear the song, I mean, Johnny Nash, you just go, oh my God, what a great voice, but what a great song. I mean, one of those songs, like, you know, one of the Beatles songs, they'll never go out of style. It'll always be here.
I think you're right. An
anthem.
And then there's other Johnny Nash songs that weren't as popular, but also, they roll off the tongue, like, what was the one?
Stir It Up.
Yeah, Stir It Up was another one. I think that was
a Marley tune.
But there was another one, The Train Don't Come to Erie, Oh, If It Tried.
Yeah, that's it.
Alexander Leslie's up and dying.
He did a nice job on that. And
that was a great song.
He had to live in Erie for a year to get the sense of it. He did a nice job.
But he also wrote that song, Farmer's Daughter, What Do You Do?
Yes, he did. He was a versatile man, very versatile.
But where did you play with Johnny Nash? Were you in Hamilton?
Yeah, Hamilton, Ontario, a place called the Carillion Club. And it was a supper club. And he was upstairs in the big time. With a band and everything, and Danny, Jackie, and I were downstairs in a little lounge, and we would hang with Johnny when we got off work. We'd go have breakfast, and And he was just the sweetest man. He was just a sweetheart of a person, not affected at all. And
right.
Of course, by that time, he wasn't – in 1962, he didn't have a reason to be affected. He was just like us. We were just out there working the circuit, trying to make ends meet and trying to catch a break. And he sure caught a break when he wrote I Can See Clearly Now. That was – that's just incredible. So I never hear – every time I hear that song, I feel better. It's right. just got magic to it.
But when you were playing in Hamilton, was that song already written? Was he singing and performing that song?
No, that wasn't written until the 70s. He wrote that in 72 and recorded right away. No, it was just he was just a schlep like us trying to make a buck and working toilets. And this was a nice club, but he worked – you know, we would compare the shitholes that were, pardon me, the bad places that we worked. So he was right. He was just a gentleman and just a very talented man. And you love to see the good people win. And he sure won. He died too soon, but he had a great life. And as I say, that he was just a talented, talented man.
Well, I think he was 80 when he died. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think most people would take 80.
Yes, as a matter of fact, they would. And I'm going to be 79, so I'm looking at that 80 going, come on. I've got two brothers. Dan died. Dan made it to 82. My dad and my other brother made it to 81. So I'm shooting for 83, and I can lead the pack.
You know, I'm so glad that I had, you know, that I was in town, and I got to go to your brother Danny and my uncle Dan's service. It was put on by his kids and
by,
you know
by
Casey.
Marlene and the kids
right
and, yeah
Casey and Danny and
Casey
Kelly.
And Danny and Kelly
and it was just it was such a great vibe there. It was you know, there was no family feud going on. It was just like a really cool vibe there, and to hear Tommy get up and sing you know a great Irish song. Oh, Danny boy, it was so moving. Yeah. I even saw it, you know, you break down, and I think I've seen you cry maybe once in my life.
Yeah, Danny was a real sweetheart of a man, and everyone loved him. And they were talking from the heart. Everybody was saying the things that they that everybody knows about Dan. He was a sweetheart of a man. We still miss him.
My Uncle Wally is with us. I have to make a correction here. I said that. You wrote the Fernando Valenzuela song. Then I got a call from ASCAP and BMI saying Danny Dalton has sole credit and that you did not participate in that song.
No, I didn't participate. It's a great song.
It is.
I didn't participate in that. And speaking of Fernando, we could use Fernando tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh?
Last now, I heard, the Dodgers were losing.
Did you become a Seattle fan when you moved up there?
I did. I was a Tiger fan when I lived in Detroit. Then I was a Dodger fan when I lived in L.A. And now I'm a Mariner fan. But I'm still rooting for the Dodgers. They're a favorite of mine too. They're a great team.
Ultimately, Wally, if the Tigers were in the World Series, whoever they were playing, you're a Tigers fan.
You bet. Yeah. And Seattle and L.A. And it's just when they got Mookie Betts, I wanted to call Boston and go. Really? You traded this guy? Really? I don't care how much money
That's
he got. You
great.
Traded him? This is one of the best ball players that the game has ever seen, and you traded him?
Right.
He steals two bases in one inning. It's never been – but here's a trivia question for all your listeners. Who was the only one other than Mookie Betts to steal two bases in one inning?
Ooh. I would say –
I could give you 1,000 guesses and you wouldn't get it, but it's probably the greatest baseball player of all time.
Okay. We're going to take a break there and come back. Can you stay with us?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, Uncle Wally's with us. I worked with Johnny Nash. We'll talk to him a little bit. And he also has a great story about his brother and my uncle Dan getting married and how my grandparents got to the wedding is a sensational story. Very funny. It's one of those family stories that whenever we get together, I need Wally to tell me. And so I hope he's up for it. KFI AM 640 is Conway Show. My Uncle Wally Dalton joins us from the Washington, Seattle area. And so what is the answer to that trivia question that there's only been two baseball players in Major League Baseball that have stolen two bases in one game of the World Series?
Uh-huh.
Mookie Betts and who's the other?
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
His first name was Babe.
Ah.
Now, when you think of great runners,
wow,
you don't think of Babe Ruth. You think of Ty Cobb. You think of some of the Jackie Robinson, some of the great
Ricky
stewards.
Hernandez, right.
Yeah, exactly, but Babe Ruth stole two bases in one inning, so he was very fast. He was a big man. He could really run, and plus he was a world class pitcher as well. So when all is said and done, the greatest player ever to play the game was Babe Ruth. I don't think there'll be any argument there.
No, I think you're right. Hey, so you got to first of all, Ricky Henderson. What did I say? Did I say Henderson? I think I did. Anyway, so one of the great stories that of my childhood involved you. And can I ask, is your friend, I don't want to say his last name, his first name is John. He was a painter. Is he still with us?
Dougherty.
Yes.
Dougherty. Yes, he is.
Okay. I didn't want to say his last name because he did something illegal. So I wanted to leave that out. So I'm glad you didn't include it either. But I remember John broke his leg a Saturday. He was a painter and he fell off his ladder and he broke his leg. And he went to your house, and you said to him, John, you're going to drink all day. Tim's going to pick us up. We're going to the King game. We're going to park in the Sizzler parking lot. We're going to walk over to the Forum, and you're going to fall over one of those wooden parking horse barriers, and the Kings are going to pay for that broken leg.
That's the truth.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course I do. That's the truth. And I said, wait till we get a lot of witnesses. Wait till we get a lot of witnesses.
That's so great. I mean, that's...
He that went, boys.
By the way,
I thought he went.
I thought he broke his other leg when he did it, too.
He probably did. I think he one was gone, and I think he got the other one, too, at the same time. But they paid for everything.
That's good.
We had some good seats at those Kings games after that.
And we always parked at the Sizzler.
Oh, yes, yes. In those days, they didn't check much.
No. I don't know if we have time right now, but can you stay with us? I need you to tell the story of my uncle Dan, your brother Dan's wedding in Hamilton, and how my grandparents got there.
Sure.
Okay. All right. The commercial break's coming up. It's only 22 minutes, so you'll be able to gather your thoughts.
No problem.
Okay. All right. My uncle Wally Dalton is with us. He worked with Johnny Nash, who was one of the coolest guys in the world. One of the greatest songs ever, too. It's really cool that we have some kind of connection. I can see clearly now was the song. And when we come back, my grandparents got to the wedding of my Uncle Dan in a very unconventional way. And it shows you how sticklers they were for timing. When my grandfather said, we're leaving at 8:01, he didn't care who was in the car. It left at 8:01. And he would do crap like that. But how they got to my uncle's wedding and Wally's brother's wedding is a great story. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. My uncle Wally is with us, Wally Dalton. Very funny man. And I would say more than 50, maybe 60 years ago when your brother Danny was getting married, I believe to Lois, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, for the first time. And my grandparents were in a place called Erie, Ontario, which is just directly due north of Cleveland, Ohio, on the Canadian shore of Lake Erie. And take it away. It's the morning of the wedding, and what shakes down?
He wanted to leave. He said, we'll leave at a certain time.
Your dad?
And he said, we're leaving at 8 o'clock in the morning. And Hamilton's about 3 hours away, so we'll get there in plenty of time. And so hold on 1 minute. So she was not
mail?
Ready. No, I was just plugging in. I'm getting low on juice. I was just plugging in. He was she was not ready, and he said, "Okay, goodbye," and he took off. And we got to the church, and I was there with my wife, and we said, "Where's Mom?" And she wasn't up to it. She just wasn't feeling good. What? She's missing the wedding. she's missing a wedding. She wasn't. Come on, what's up? No. She, you know her. She just wasn't. She wasn't up for it. So we're going, oh man, and put a damper on the whole thing. So we start walking into church, and all of a sudden, there she is. And everyone went, Mom, how did you get here? I hired a plane.
What?
She went out and hired a plane. And oh, my dad, the look on his face, I wish I had a picture of it.
Oh,
his jaw was down around his testicles. It was just incredible. And the whole time, the rest of the wedding, all we could talk about was her getting to the wedding.
So she went. So she went. She drove to Chatham and chartered a plane.
Yep, went drove to Chatham, chartered a plane, then took a taxi from the airport to the church. Guess who paid for that?
Yeah.
It wasn't her.
I remember. My uncle Wally's with us. I remember you introduced us to hockey. You and my dad. I think you were a bigger fan than my dad. You grew up in Detroit, which is a big hockey town.
Yeah.
My dad grew up in Cleveland. They had the Barons for like 8 seconds. But I remember going to the hockey game with you, and it was me, you, Doherty, and a couple of my brothers, and we were sitting behind one of the nets. And that was back before they put that net screen up there, and a puck going, 800 miles an hour can hit you right in the teeth. And I remember a puck comes up. It lands right in our seats, and the guy behind us takes a dive to try to get the puck, and he knocks out one of his lenses, one of his glass lenses, out of his glasses. And we look at the guy, and he's wearing those Coke bottle glass lenses. They're like 2 inches thick. So Wally reaches down, and he gives him an ice cream carnation plastic cup and goes, here, try this. And the guy behind him goes, F you, I'll kick your ass. And Wally goes, no, your lens is inside this carnation cup. I remember like that. I remember like as if that happened last week, Wally.
Oh, man, you can't write these stories. These are rich.
I have a story that my mom didn't like me to tell because she said they're family stories, and evidently I wasn't part of the family. But I remember going to Erio, and your mom occasionally before, she sobered up in life, she used to enjoy a pop every once in a while. I think it's fair to say, right?
Uh-huh.
And I remember her coming down the stairs, not much clothing, going behind the refrigerator, grabbing that whiskey or gin bottle, taking a pop, and then going back up the stairs, and with every step she took, there was a new fart sound, and it went, and when she got to the top of the stairs, my brother Pat whispered to me, charge. Charge. That was great, man. Anyway, I got to play this song for you. This is I just was sent this song by Randy Wang. This is Danny, your brother Danny, wrote this beautiful song that I still enjoy, and now I have a copy of it. And I think you remember him sending this to you and asking you what you thought about it. It was when John Kerry ran against George Bush for president of the United States. Here it is.
It was March of 69 in a land called Vietnam when Jim Rasmussen was blown right off his boat. And that boat sped away, but it was his lucky day, for Lieutenant John Kerry came about.
Help is on its way.
Come on, Gina.
Help is on its way. John Kerry's gonna save the day. Help is on its way.
With a wounded arm, Kerry hoisted Jim from harm. Then he turned that boat around and raced away. He got three purple hearts and a bronze and silver star. Lieutenant John
Kerry
saved the day.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Help is on the way. Help is on the way. John Kerry's gonna save the day. Help is on the way.
I love that favorite song. That's one of my favorite songs he ever wrote.
I do too.
It really was.
He was a good writer.
Wally, are you still writing songs?
I am.
You with us?
I just finished one called It's All About the Money, Honey. It's All About the Till.
There we go. All right, Wally, so you still write songs, huh?
Yep.
And I know you wrote, you got to send me some because I'd love to play some more of them. What was the song you sang? When I turn 66?
Now that I'm 75.
Right. Okay. You got to resend me that. Do me a favor. Send me all the songs that you have because I got to play them all. It is such a treat to have you on the air. Go ahead.
Did you hear the one I did on marijuana? I'm going to roll a major fat one right now.
No, I didn't.
Okay, I'll send that to you too.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, email it to me because I can't get enough of them. They're really they're terrific. They're great. I remember the one you wrote about. It was a Sal the Morris agent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Saul the Morris.
Saul the Morris agent. Yeah. Saul the Morris agent lived by the sea. He dwindled in the show of biz in the hills of Beverly. Right.
So Saul the Morris agent lived by the sea in the biz of something in the biz of showing the hills of Beverly.
So right.
The big producer loved that rascal Saul. He'd bring him coke and lady folk, but never return his calls.
That's great. Wally, I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for staying up late. I know you're an early bird.
You're welcome.
One quick story. We have a new intern. She's been with the station for about a year or two. And her name is Morgan. So I call her the Gansk. And the moment I saw her, I gave her that nickname. Plus, because that's your, people don't know this, but my cousin, Wally's son, is named Morgan. And his nickname was the Gansk. And we used to say, and the Gants had a pretty wicked slap shot and could tickle the twine, which means he scored in playing hockey. So I said to this, this young girl, she's probably like 21, right? And I gave her the name the Gants, and I go, hey, the Gants tickles that twine. And then I get a haul. And then I get a call from HR saying, hey, so what's going on with you and Morgan and tickling the twine? I had to explain to everybody what that meant.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's wonderful.
All right. Please say hi to Anne-Marie and Morgan
and I will.
Whoever else is that we miss all the time. But I really appreciate coming.
Sure,
you got to come on more often, like more than once every 20 years.
I would love to.
All right. And maybe every Wednesday. How about that?
That'd be great. That'd be great, man.
All right. God bless you. Love you, ma'am.
Love you, too.
Take care.
See you, Jimmy.
All right. Bye. There he goes. Wally Dalt, man. That guy is the best.
He's awesome.
He's one of the greatest guys ever. And he's got to come on to tell the story about how my grandparents had to move from Detroit to Windsor overnight. Because of IRS problems.
Really?
Yeah. The story I heard, well, I'll come back and I'll tell you, but the story I heard is that he threatened or attacked an IRS agent, put everything in the car and drove to Windsor and never came back to the United States.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was an Irish drinking, fighting family.
Sure.
You know?
And I just want to double check something. When the mother was left at the house for the wedding,
right,
did she hold off and get a notary public to file the divorce papers, or did they stay together?
No, he ran the house. Back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, the guy ran the house and he said, I'm leaving. I'm going to the wedding. If you're not in the car, you're not coming. And that's the way it ran.
Fair enough. But I would honestly be more terrified to charter a plane than file for divorce.
Yeah, I know. But she knew how to get around. And it probably cost him, $600 or $700. And that was a hell of a lot of money back then.
Oh, boy.
But just to see her walk up with that dress on, the flowers in her hair. I'm here, boys. KFI AM 640, Conway Show. Oh, that was great, man, to have my Uncle Wally on. I don't know why I've not had him on before. Puzzles me. A buddy of mine, Frankie Renzulli, said, dude, what's wrong with you? You're overlooking one of the great Johnny Nash songs of all time. I said, what is that? And he said, stir it up. He's right.
I thought that was a Bob Marley song.
Read up.
Little darling.
Darling, steer it up.
Are you playing it by chance?
What was that?
Are you playing it by chance?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
I'm just getting to know my system here. Here we go. Two massive hits like that. Yeah. That's kind of a cool career. All right, the Dodger game is over. If you recorded it and you're watching it later, sorry. It's part of the news cycle here. We are the Dodger station on 570 AM. So the Dodgers lost 6-4. So game three is tomorrow. Game four is Saturday. And game five now, we're going to have game five for sure. You have at least three more games. Right. All right. Game five will be Sunday. And every single game of this World Series starts at 5:08 p.m., with the exception of game seven that starts at 5:09 p.m. Not sure why. A minute delay. So 5:08 tomorrow. 5:08 Saturday and Sunday. They're taking Monday off. Tuesday, 5:08. Wednesday, 5:08 if it goes to game seven. Don't forget, tomorrow we have the big and final debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. President Trump and Vice President Joe Biden tomorrow, right here live from 6 to 7:30. I think it's an hour and a half debate. And this one will be interesting because they'll shut the mics off during the candidates, or, you know, whether it's Trump or Biden speaking, they'll shut the other guy's mic off for 2 minutes.
You know what's so funny about that?
What?
It's going to sound like heckling from off the stage.
Oh, yeah, you're
like,
right, because they're going to still do it.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they're still going to do it.
Yeah, you were going to hear it. It's just going to sound like heckling.
Right. You can't control these guys. They're going to do it anyway. So it'll be fun to watch. It's the last debate, and then the voting is a week from Tuesday. That is wild. A week from Tuesday. And then it'll all be over. No more measures. No more propositions. No more Senate race or you know, congressional races. We all go back to just being Americans and going about our way. Hopefully. Right? Hopefully. Here's the uncomfortable moment when, at the end of this game, they have to interview these guys from 6 feet away. And you can barely tell what they're saying. Yeah, but I don't understand that. If the reporter's in the bubble and the player's in the bubble, why can't he just stand next to him and interview him? I don't get it. I really don't get it. So the Rays have tied up the series, and the Rays' complete team salary is 1/10 of the Dodgers' salary. The Dodgers spend 10 times more, or nearly 10 times more, on their players. Dodgers have two players, Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw. And if you combine both of those salaries, they make more than the entire Tampa Bay team. And the teams are, they got great pitching, great hitting. And now it looks like, you know, it's going to be a great series. You know, and that's what you want. You don't want a four-game series. You want a shutout, right? You want a sweep. You want to go to game seven. Game seven World Series is unbelievable. Here's a stat for you. Third pitcher in Major League Baseball with two strikeouts in four consecutive innings within a single whatever
World Series game. Yeah.
And with Sandy Koufax was one of them. Who was the other one up there? Do you know?
I didn't see.
Well, we, at least we know Sandy Koufax.
I'm just going to yell Babe Ruth for your uncle. See what happens.
That's wild that Babe Ruth has a base stealing record. I mean, nobody's been able to do that since Babe Ruth. And Mookie Betts is the only other guy to do it, to steal two bases in one inning.
And they didn't exactly refer to Babe Ruth as Flash.
No, not at all. It was huge. I mean, the guy would have like six hot dogs and five beers before a game. That was what he ate. You know, and wow. Back then, everyone in the dugout was smoking. In the dugout. I remember watching in the 1970s, if you had binoculars, you could watch the Dodger dugout and you could see Bill Russell smoking in the dugout.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
And that's in my lifetime. I mean, I'm sitting there watching Bill Russell smoke in the dugout. Now, he didn't do it on the bench. He went in the tunnel. But he would sit there and watch the game in the tunnel. You could see him smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, right, because there. He's a professional.
That's right. Yeah. He didn't want the kids to see him.
That's right.
He's a professional. All right, we're live on KFI AM 640. KFI AM 640, Conway Show. Ding dong. All right, we got, that was fun to have my uncle on. That was cool. And I still can't believe that I have not had him on in, you know, 20 years or 25 years. I feel like an idiot, right? All right, Hummer is making a comeback. The car is making a comeback. New and improved as well. And that's just, you know, it's what we need in the, you know, day and age where everyone's trying to save as much gas and not overuse any, you know, natural resources to buy anything bigger than you really need. The Hummer makes perfect sense. So let's find out what's different and new about the Hummer, ladies and gentlemen. Ding dong!
That is how you change the world.
The voice of basketball great LeBron James unveiled the new GMC Hummer EV, a 1,000-horsepower all-electric truck loaded with the latest technology, capable of going 350 miles on a charge and 0 to 60 in just 3 seconds.
Wait a minute. A Hummer that size is going to go 0 to the 60 in 3 seconds?
Its crab walk lets you turn the front and rear wheels to crawl around obstacles.
This is a super truck, and this is the only super truck that does what this Hummer is going to do.
You know this thing is going to sell out. All these celebrities will want one. All these billionaires will want one. And there'll be none left for you in the lot.
Electric vehicles currently make up about 2% of cars on U.S. roads.
I didn't know it was that low. 2%, right? Electric car is 2%. Mondo, do you have an electric car? You seem like an electric car kind of guy.
No, I do not.
You do not. What do you drive?
I drive a Mini Cooper, Countryman.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But aren't you like 6'8"?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. What was the idea with the Mini Cooper? You just want to see how uncomfortable you can get?
No, it's got okay legroom. And it was good mileage when I bought it.
You're like Will Chamberlain sitting in the back seat, you know? Wow. You know, I never even knew. How long have you had a Mini Cooper?
Oh, man. About three years now.
You know, if somebody asked me,
4 years? Yeah.
You know, and I've known you for, what, 10 years, right?
Yeah, just about.
If somebody asked me what kind of car you drove, I would be euchred, man. I have no idea.
What kind of
car I drive?
You drive a...
Oh.
Well, you've changed cars.
Okay.
You had a Honda Pilot.
That's right. That's exactly what I drive. Yeah, but very observant.
Okay.
All right, Gina Grad, I'm going to guess what car you drive.
Yeah.
Since I probably already saw you in it.
Yeah.
Is it silver or white?
No.
Audi?
No.
Nissan?
You don't see me as an electric car kind of gal?
Yeah, I do, but I don't. Yeah. I mean, I think you wanted one because, you know, you want to save the environment, but you're just too forgetful
God,
and you'd
you
be
know
out
me
of
so
charge.
Well. Yep, yeah. Yep.
Do you have an electric car?
No, of course I don't.
Oh, okay. What do you drive?
Subaru Crosstrek.
Oh, that's right.
I love that car.
Yeah, because you had a sweet deal with Subaru.
I had a great deal with them, and I stuck with them after the deal ended because I love the car so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Santa Monica Subaru, right?
I was going down to the South Bay because that's where I lived at the time. But it was just in general, an overall Subaru gal.
I love Subaru. I had a Subaru about, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, 14 years ago. Absolutely loved it.
They're the best. I think I've had 5 of them, like lease. And I mean, the deal ended and I said, another round, gentlemen. And I still have it and I love it.
Do you know what the number one car in Japan is?
What?
Subaru.
Really?
Yeah, the number one selling car in Japan is a Subaru.
Wow.
Kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
And Angel, you still have a Prius?
Yes.
One? Yeah, I know Angel's car. She talks about it all the time. And Bellio still drives the panel van, I believe.
I sure do.
The white panel van?
Yeah.
There's just 2 seats. There's no seats in the back. Just 2
in front. It's just down to 1 now. We had to take 1 out, the passenger seat out.
So you don't feel too creepy driving that around, huh?
I really don't.
Yeah.
It really suits my personality.
Yeah. Do people expect you to get out and sell them a box of speakers?
I've had people stop me from here. Yeah. Yeah.
That seems like.
And I've sold some speakers, too.
That's pretty cool. You know, I'm one of those guys that fell for that, you know, back when I was in my 20s and a guy brought speakers over to the house and he said, hey, I got a ton of speakers in the house that I can't get rid of. I'm like, well, how do you have speakers you can't get rid of? How did that happen? And he gave me some BS story and he says, for $40, I'll give you 2 boxes, 2 big speakers. And I said, done. You got it. So he sold me 2 big speakers. And I open the box, and everybody else gets bricks, right, in the box. Mine were 2 beautiful speakers. And then he comes back a half hour later. He goes, oh, buddy, he goes, I gave you the wrong boxes. I said, no, sweetheart. That deal is done. You effed up, and you gave me the real speakers for $40, and now get off my lawn. And he took off. But he's so stupid that instead of giving me the boxes with the rocks in them or the bricks in them, he gave me the real speakers. So
you lucked out.
I lucked out and he lost. All right, let's continue here. The big Hummer man.
But GM is investing $2.2 billion to convert this Detroit area factory to build electrics, including the new Hummer equipped with GM's Ultimum batteries.
Anybody that used to like Hummers will like this Hummer even more and be proud of.
Yeah, I used to like Hummers when I was in like high school and right after high school. I thought that was like the coolest car in the world.
Anybody that used to like Hummers will.
Yeah, but now I think it's just a little too big for me. Right? I don't know.
Like this Hummer even more and be proud of what it does from an environmental sustainability standpoint.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I think you can sell this car in a lot of ways. I'm not sure environmentally.
Of what it does from an environmental sustainability standpoint.
Environmentally, I mean, it probably weighs 12,000 pounds and runs by huge, huge batteries. I don't know if I'd sell it with the environment. I would sell it as safety, fast, and girls like it.
In the 90s, Arnold Schwarzenegger used his star power to help turn the hulking military Humvee into a civilian SUV like no other. An unapologetic gas guzzler with attitude that could go anywhere.
There you go. That's how you sell the car. You don't talk about the environment when you have a Hummer.
An unapologetic gas guzzler with attitude that could go anywhere.
Yeah, an unapologetic gas guzzler.
But was so big, it didn't always fit in parking spaces.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. You go to Walmart and you got to park it way, way, way out the end because it takes up a space and a half.
GM added the H2 and smaller H3 before Hummer fell out of favor during the Great Recession.
I just love the look of it.
Matt Ross has a 2008 H3 and is excited the Hummer is coming back.
Is it a vehicle you would think about getting?
Absolutely. It's just a unique vehicle that you can take anywhere that other vehicles can't go.
I'm really impressed with the power.
Motor Trend's Sean Holman.
I think they've done a good job of towing that line of staying true to what people remember Hummer being without any of the negativity that maybe was with the brand when it was killed off.
The Hummer EV goes into production next year and starts around $80,000.
Wow. I don't think that's right. I don't think it starts at 80 grand. I think they say it starts at 80 grand, and then with everything extra, I'll bet it's closer to 140 by the time you get it out the door. There's no way you're going to get that kind of car with that kind of power and that kind of big car for 80 grand. No way. I bet it's closer to 160. I bet it's closer to double that. All right, that'll be interesting to see. I'd like to see one of those suckers. KFI AM 640. Conway Show. Oh, boy. Well, we have vaccine testing in Newport Beach. That's kind of cool that people are volunteering for that. And there are some people volunteering that are, they get the vaccine and then they are purposely exposed to COVID to see, you know, how it works. Those guys have balls, right? I wouldn't do that. Because what if it didn't work, right? All of a sudden you take the vaccine, then you're exposed to COVID, and you grow a third leg out of your tuchus. I don't like it. All right, let's find out what's going on here with this COVID testing in Newport Beach.
Irvine resident Chen Chow became the very first research volunteer to receive a novel COVID-19 vaccine today at Hoag Hospital in Newport Beach.
I don't feel any differences. I don't feel like there's something like in my body, like just swimming around.
Sounds like there is, though, right? She says she doesn't feel like it, but her body language looks like there's something going on with her.
I don't feel any differences. I don't feel like there's something like in my body, like just swimming around.
Right.
Like in my body, like just swimming around.
While she's able to laugh about it, she also understands the risks, saying it's worth it if it means helping others.
Oh, that's true, right? I mean, she's like, a godsend.
I'm honored to be number one, and I really hope it can, you know, do something with the immune system, like do something for the research.
I
wonder how much they paid her to do that, right? Because you know there's money involved.
This vaccine is one of a kind because it delivers two proteins from SARS-CoV-2, one that identifies an infected cell and destroys it, the other that prevents the virus from getting into the cell in the first place.
Most of the vaccines that are currently in trial only are delivering the spike protein and really are targeted at developing antibodies to the virus.
After two injections, 3 weeks apart, the clinical research team will continually check for antibodies to see how the vaccine is working and whether the patient,
you know, it truly is amazing. And I my hats are off to all the doctors and the scientists that came up with that vaccine, because they did that in record time. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, of technology and stick-to-itiveness, and just, you know, people are in this country are, when there's an emergency, there are people in this country that, thank God, went to school longer than I did and can come up with something to try to save everybody. But that is a world record for vaccines. It's got to be.
And whether the patients are retaining any immunity levels, all while keeping a close eye on side effects.
They might have a headache, a lot of different things. They could very well develop a small fever. So we go through all of those with them.
Chen is also participating because of her frustration with the pandemic, which has kept her away from her family in China.
After this, I just want to tell them I'm not only like straight A, I'm not only know how to study, I'm not only like a self-independent person, and also I can do something, you know, a little risky, but like beneficial to all the people.
So that COVID-19 can soon be behind us.
This is for all the kids that are sitting at home right now. For you.
I wonder if she felt a little pressure that, you know, she's from China and the virus from China. Like if there was an Irish pandemic, I'd feel like, you know, my last name is Conway. Maybe I should get in there first and, you know, try to help people out. Maybe.
There are 35 participants in this first phase. The second phase will have hundreds across California, and the third phase will have about 30,000 across the country. If you'd like to participate, go to Hoag.
I wouldn't.
If you'd like to participate, go to Hoag.org/COVID.
Okay. Maybe you want to volunteer, right? Mondo, can you volunteer, or you probably spent your luck, right?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't volunteer.
Yeah, you probably absolutely shouldn't, right? Although, man, you would be Superman if you did. Like, wow, man, that guy had a heart transplant, a kidney transplant. He beat cancer. Look, he's at the front of the line for that COVID test. That is some stud.
If you'd like to participate, go to Hoag.org/COVID.
I mean, that's the type of attitude. And let's say you went in to Newport and you went to the front of that line to try to get tested for COVID. And they asked you, well, you know, your history. And you said, well, you had a heart transplant, you had a kidney transplant, you beat cancer. and they're like, wow, and you still want to do this? And you're like, yep. And then that's like the kind of move that supermodels would be all over you. You know what I mean? Just be all over that action. Like, that's a tough, that's like a world's toughest guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Why?
But thanks for the idea, but I probably won't.
You're not going to do that?
No, no.
You think you've done enough?
Yeah, totally.
You don't think you feel like you have to give back?
Nah. Yeah, you're good. I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. I'm good. I get it. Okay. All right. Very good. Gina, would you volunteer?
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah.
You go down there and take the vaccine and they expose you to COVID.
Yeah.
Would you want money for it?
Well, of course. Wait, are you saying there's no money in it?
But you would want substantial money for it.
Oh, I'd like to be handsomely compensated, yeah.
Right, for the rest of your life.
If I'm going to be a lab rat.
Right. Would you take 50 grand?
Cash?
Yes.
No
under
tax.
The table.
Yeah,
under the table.
I would do it for 50 grand, yeah.
I would do it. Under the table, cash, no taxes. I'd do it for $1,500.
Really?
Yeah. I've had a bad year, man.
Yeah. You got stung pretty hard.
I caught a sour wind on TVG. Yeah. Do you know anybody down there?
Oh, boy.
You know anybody in Newport?
I'll make a call.
At Hogue? If they could deposit it right into my TVG, I'll be down there tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, you take credit?
Yeah, maybe they'll do that. KFI AM 640, Conway Show. And I just found this song. My buddy Randy Wang sent it to me. It is another one of my uncle's songs. My uncle Jack, who's also a terrific songwriter, he wrote this song about Detroit Red Wings.
Now there's a team in this great nation that's got a hold on me. I just can't get them out of my heart. They're really fun to see. They're the hottest hockey team around. They love to tickle that twine. They make the pass. This team's got class. These Redbirds are so fine, so doggone fine.
Here we go. Sing it if you know it.
Detroit Red Wings, pride, tradition, and all those good things. Red Wings are flying. They shoot, they score. Chicago, sweet. Toronto's tough and Edmonton's a dandy. Rah, rah for Red Wings, we love you more. Downtown at Joe Louis on a beautiful...
Hey, every one of my uncles can write and sing and play instruments, man. It's pretty, pretty cool, right? Ding dong.
Hey, Tim, that song reminded me of a song that I think one of your uncles wrote. And Detroit reminded me of this particular song because in the song that I'm thinking about, he pronounced Detroit like the old school way.
Yeah, Detroit. Oh, Detroit. Oh, that was a song. He wrote a song goes, Detroit City, the girls are women. Oh, no, it was... New York's nuts and San Fran's foggy. Rah, rah for Detroit, my home, sweet home, I'm home. L.A.'s hot and smoggy. New York's nuts and San Fran's foggy. Rah, rah for Detroit. Yeah, Detroit is the French, I think the French pronunciation. And the proper one. Yeah.
Oh.
Ding dong with that.
Yeah.
Because that's how all the Canadians, you know, the rivals with, you know, Toronto and Montreal. Toronto Red Wings, mm-hmm. I mean, Toronto Maple Leafs and Montreal Canadiens. And so they're right across the river from, you know, Canada, which is most of it, at least the, you know, the eastern part of Canada is all French in Quebec. And they pronounce it Détroit. Rah, rah for Détroit. My home, sweet home. I'm home. And then I believe it was my uncle. I think it was my uncle Danny, my uncle Dan, who wrote the song about the angels. And we'd played that on the show a couple of times. Let's see if I can cue it up here. Yeah, this is a song about the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Great song, man. I tell you, my uncles are talented as hell. I didn't get any of it. And growing up, my brothers and my sister all played instruments and or sang. My sister knows how to play a little piano. My brother Pat played the drums. Jake played a million instruments. Corey played drums, a little guitar and piano. Sean played as well. And so everyone would get together and, you know, occasionally get together on holidays and, you know, play instruments and sing and all that stuff. And I'd be in the corner with, like, a Time magazine. I just couldn't do it. I just wasn't born with that gene. Just didn't have it, man. Didn't have it. But that's a cool song. That's my uncle Dan wrote that song about the Red Wings. I forgot. Gene, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
I forgot the ending of the John Kerry song. And remember... the way Jerry used to belt that out.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, here it is. It's great. All right, here we go.
John Kerry's going to save the day. Hope is on the way.
We had a guy who worked with us who could sing that part of it perfectly.
It wasn't Freedom Ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freedom Ring. Freedom Ring. That was the best. He went, when he went high, man, he went through the ceiling.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, as you know, Michelle used to say, when he went high, everyone else went low. It was unbelievable. That was one of the cool things he's ever done, man.
Yeah.
Love that dude. All right, we do have some other news to get to as well. Some news. Oh, don't forget, we have the Morongo giveaway. I think that's still going on. Is that correct, Belio? We're still happening? That is going to be at Morongo on Monday. I think you can still enter to win. For a chance to win a VIP experience to join me, that's me, Conway, during a live broadcast to celebrate my birthday. Seems to be all a little too much about me, right?
But look at you and the look at me business over here.
We call it the fashion business.
Right.
But I like it. Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Monday. That's, it's this next Monday coming up on October 26th from 6 to 10 p.m. Just go to KFIAM640.com and look up Morongo. Oh, we're done promoting the event. Okay. All right. We're not promoting anymore. But if you happen to be down at Morongo, then if you're in the casino, there's going to be like a roped off area. And maybe, we can gamble together and kick ass. Maybe hit a big slot win or something. But Morongo, I'll be there doing a live broadcast on Monday from 6 to 10 p.m. And since we're not doing a huge party this year, five people were going to be selected as the winners, so I'm sure that's already in the works. And so, yeah, and it's going to be really cool. You have to be 21 years or older. I think you have to be 21 to join, but I don't know if you have to be 21 or 18 to get in the casino. I'm not sure. I don't know. But anyway, Morongo's cool. It's a really cool hang. They got a lot of new bars, a lot of new restaurants, and I'll be down there on October 26th. So if you're in the casino, stop by and say hey from 6 feet away. Stop by and say hey from 6 feet away then. All right, we're live on KFI. We'll check it with Nori next. KFI AM 640's Conway Show. George Nori is coming up in moments here. George, what's brewing tonight, man?
And we're going to talk about lost civilizations for the first couple hours, then later on, a little bit of dreams and after-death experiences, and just have some fun on Coast to Coast.
And a programming note for Ghost to Ghost, is that correct?
Ghost to Ghost will be next Friday, October 30th.
Ooh, man, that's around the corner.
It's coming up. Halloween is close. Trick or treat.
I love it, bud. I'll be listening to it, and I'll be recording Ghost to Ghost so I can listen to it over and over.
Oh, super. Thanks, Timmy.
All right. Thanks, bud. There he goes. George Nori and Coast to Coast. He does a cool thing called Ghost to Ghost. And if you, if you're at home and, I don't know, you smoke a little, whatever you do, or drink a little, or, I don't know, maybe you do some blow, listening to his stories and people call in and tell ghost stories, that every one of them is believable, freaks you out. Flips you out. I'm telling you, it will. All right, then we don't forget, tomorrow night is a huge, huge night. Tomorrow night is the final debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And so that would be that'd be pretty cool.
You gonna check this one out?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh,
oh
okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I will. Be definitely checking this one out.
I think you got a quarter pounder last time.
I don't remember what happened last time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I listened to the show. I thought I heard that, but I could be wrong.
I got into a wee bit of trouble over the last one.
You know what? You know what? I was thinking of John Coble. I am so embarrassed. I am so sorry. That was John who did that.
That's right.
That's right. Insane. You know what? This is on me. And any calls or, you know, I just got you guys mixed up.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's exactly right. She's 100% right.
Yep. John. It was John. I remember.
Yeah, well,
I was here.
Right. Yeah. He was off the air and he and we said, hey, how'd you like it? And he goes, I didn't watch it.
Oh, wow. He wouldn't stop talking about it.
That's right.
But boy, oh boy, he loves him some Mickey D.
That's right. I was all over it, man. I was on top of it. All right. I heard Gina talk about this last night. The world's longest flight just got a little bit longer. How about this? It's unreal.
The world's longest commercial flight is getting even longer. Next month, Singapore Airlines will resume its nonstop service between Singapore to the New York City area. The 9,536-mile flight will keep passengers in the air for about 18 hours. The extra-long haul flight had been halted due to the pandemic, and now it's connecting Singapore to JFK instead of Newark Airport, adding a couple more miles to that marathon excursion.
Oh, my God.
What's the longest flight you've ever been on?
The longest flight I was on was from Dublin to L.A.
Oh.
And it was, they said it was going to be 15 hours, a lot of headwinds. And I took 2 sleeping pills, and I don't recommend this, and I washed it down with a shot of vodka. I don't recommend doing that. So I did that. We took off, and I slept for 13 hours.
Oh, my God.
I wake up, and I say to the flight attendant, I'm like, how much longer? 2 hours? And she laughed. And I said, what's going on? I mean, I know you're from Ireland and have a great sense of humor, but that wasn't a punchline. And she said, I don't know, you've only been asleep for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, no.
No, 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 no.
And I looked at my watch and she was, or my phone, and she was right. I had only been asleep for 2 hours.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
The next 11, hungover, radical headache.
Oh, no.
And nothing, no aspirin, nothing could do anything to relieve the pain.
Oh.
And every mile seemed like 100 miles.
That
was the longest trip of my life.
That I can absolutely see that for you, and that is really bad news. But I always have a worse time on the flight there than on the flight back. I've been to Greece. I've been to Israel. I've been to Rarotonga, which you made fun of me wow. relentlessly for going because you didn't think I'd come back because it was pretty hairy, but it was great. And going there, I'm a nervous wreck and I feel awful. But then I'm so exhausted after a trip, I just I just knock out the whole play. But Israel, from Chicago to Israel, was one of the worst experiences of my life. That was like 15 and a half hours in the air.
Was that on LL?
No, I wish. It was a, really? I don't know, some just regular standard old airline, and everybody was sick.
Oh, no.
Everybody was, you know, tossing cookies. It was,
oh,
it was
my
just
God.
Long, it was just a long flight.
You know, when you fly the state-run airline, LL, they interview you three times before you get on the plane.
Yeah, they do a little bit of profiling.
Yeah.
Especially at Ben-Gurion Airport.
Robin told me this story. Robin Bertolucci went there for her son's bar mitzvah. You know, you're supposed to visit Israel for the bar, before the bat mitzvah or bar mitzvah. And they asked her, they said, okay, why are you going there? And she told them, and they said, what is your rabbi's name? And she just, you know,
he had blanked.
Blanked out. And she's like, oh my God, I don't, and she turned, and she didn't know. And all of a sudden, like, the interview got, like, crazy, right? But that's what they do. That's how they make their airline super, super safe.
They do. They freak you out pretty good. I remember they were asking me, like, are you sure you don't have anything in your bag? Are you sure? I was like,
really?
Yes. I'm at Ben-Gurion. I'm trying to get home. Yes, I've not. What do you mean? Am I sure? I packed it. And they opened it, and I had, like, two small oranges, like clementines. They don't like that. I didn't realize I had it. But they that was no good.
Wow. When I was coming back from Ireland, I was on... You know, it was on Aer Lingus, so everybody there was from Ireland. And so I'm flying back. Now I'm up for 11 hours, and people start to break out, like, banjos and violins.
And
mouth harps and everything. For 10 hours!
Oh, that's my dream scenario. I love that. Did anyone get up and dance?
Yes. Not me. Steckler and I just tried to sit there throughout.
Oh, I love that.
Steckler passed out, and we all took our, you know, they give you socks when you get on the plane, and everyone took their socks off and draped them all over Steckler. He was not happy when he woke up. That he had 40 strangers' socks all over
him. Oh, boy.
All right, tomorrow's the debate. Mark Thompson will be with us as well. It's Conway Show. Good night, everybody, on KFIM.